Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a seven-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, and today's message is entitled Fallen, based off of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, and Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. So let's dive into the Word today. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him,
"You may eat freely of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die."
The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman,
"Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?"
"Of course, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die."
"You won't die,"
the serpent replied to the woman.
"God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil."
The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Amen. And now Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said,
"If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread."
But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said,
"If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone."
Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory.
"I will give it all to you," he said, "if you kneel down and worship me."
"Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. Amen. As human beings, we long for meaning and belonging to something or someone greater than ourselves. We were wired to be that way. However, our very nature seems to bring us further away from what we long for and need so desperately. While we search for meaning and belonging in many different ways, only Jesus Christ can provide the solution to our dilemma. Now, I have spent my share of time in the wilderness. I'm a person who has always wanted to fit in and belong. When I was in elementary school, I remember a pivotal moment when I stopped belonging. When a kid was being bullied by a supposed friend, and because of my faith in Jesus, I chose to step in and stop the bullying. This was in third grade, I believe, or second grade, somewhere in there, which caused me to be bullied and to not belong. I didn't know it then, but deep down, I think I was mad at Jesus after that. How could he allow that to happen to me? Again, this was subconscious. I never thought of it that way at the time, but looking back on it, I think that was a chink, so to speak, in my faith. I think that was something that notched away at my faith. And over time, it kept notching and notching because my search to belong didn't stop there. And I kept searching to belong and to fit in and in all the wrong places, feeling more and more alone and lost, to the point where I felt I didn't even belong in Christ or the church anymore. And that happened around, it probably started around 16, but certainly by 17 and 18 years old, I was feeling like I didn't even belong in the church anymore. Now, one day, many years later, I found myself in India. And though I had come back to Christ, I was still inside that scared kid who was looking to fit in. I was an adult at this point, had children, was in seminary, had long come back to Christ, and was serving in the church and on a cross-cultural trip for seminary, which was a requirement. And there I was in India, but still inside, I had a piece of that scared kid who was looking to fit in. Anyway, as we were heading up the long steps to the Krishna temple in Bangalore, I saw a hand reach out, not realizing it was to me. It was in the corner of my eye. And so I kept moving, but it reached out again, and this time grabbed mine and clasped it. I looked up, and I saw an Indian man, a pilgrim, looking me straight in the eyes as he said, "We are brothers, brothers," and he walked away. Finally, I belonged. It didn't matter where in the world I was or what temple I was at that day. I was out of the wilderness in a moment, in the snap of a finger, in the blinking of an eye. I was out of the wilderness worshiping Christ, who let me know how much I am loved and belong. We all have that basic human need to find meaning and belonging in life. No matter how introverted one might be, no one wants to truly be isolated and alone. Yet until we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, we find ourselves lost in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we see Jesus of Nazareth wandering around alone in the wilderness following his baptism. For 40 days and 40 nights, which parallels the Hebrews' 40-year trek through the wilderness to the Promised Land, Jesus wandered without food to eat. He fasted, looking for meaning, for purpose, and for the approval of and acceptance of God. However, what he initially found were the wild animals, which are both literal and also symbolic in the ancient world for demons. And he also found the chief demon himself, the devil, who tempted him. Jesus went into the wilderness to experience the real state of humanity. He wandered around and felt a tremendous separation from God. Which brings us to our first scripture, where Adam and Eve were tempted to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God warned them not to, but they were tempted by the serpent, who told them that if they did, not only would they not die, but they would become like God as judges over what is good and what is evil. And these first people took the serpent's advice, and the serpent basically called God a liar by saying, "You're not going to die. He's joshing you on that one. You're not going to die. But you will become like God. You'll become like God, and you will be judges over what is good and what is evil. You won't need God to tell you that. You'll know that for yourselves." that desire to be gods, to lose dependence on God, is what led us to our fallen state, a state of endless wandering in the desert. Have you ever been there? I am guessing that most of you have found yourself wandering around the wilderness at some point, searching for meaning and belonging. Perhaps your wilderness experience looked different than mine, but we've all had them. Take Debbie, for instance, who has shared with me some of the wilderness experiences she's had. Let's listen to what she has to share.
I was getting divorced. Very, very lonely. Lonely time, didn't know which end was up. Lost. I had nowhere to turn, didn't know who to turn to. Regular attendee in the church, and I did kind of speak with my pastor, at the time. But it was scary. I always had faith, but it wasn't as strong as it is now. You always think that, you're not worthy, that type of thing. But I had a friend who, I kind of would pick her brain and ask her questions and say, what did this sermon mean? And she would go into it, in depth. Gave me my first Max Licato book. And since then, I've been hooked. And I found that, you don't have to do everything by the book, so to speak. There's a part in there where it doesn't matter whether you pray like a supersonic jet or a crop duster. God still hears your prayers. And that was something that I needed to know. And when I sat back and didn't try to fix everything myself, I could kind of see what direction God was putting me towards. He's always throwing burning bushes, to get our attention. And when you can sit back and realize that, sometimes it was after the fact, where you kind of go, I got it. And when my mom was sick, towards the end of her life, I always had 99 star 99, Christian faith gets me through. I truly, truly feel that, God puts on that station what I need to hear. When we had first called hospice, no matter when I got in the car to either go to my mother's or come back, Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. It was, always on the radio, and it was like, oh, come on. And then when they started playing 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and the third verse, when my strength is failing, and it's like, no, not yet. And of course, within 4 days, she had passed, and, when everybody had left the house and I'm getting in my car, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So I, that's, and I knew that was God telling me. It's given me the opportunity to grow, with support. The Bible studies, like I said before, God speaks to me through music. That first service does it for me, always. It's like the song we did not too long ago, Nobody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody. And how God takes, or took, 12 people that nobody ever heard of before and changed the world. And, that's what it's all about.
Like Debbie, we all go through wilderness experiences. Yours might not have come about for the same reasons. However, we all can relate with the very human experience of feeling lost, alone, isolated from God. Debbie shared her wilderness experience was sparked by her divorce, and the loneliness and unworthiness she felt during that time. But Christ led her out once she realized that she couldn't fix it or make it better, that she needed to hand it over to Christ for him to bear. This week, I challenge you to reflect on your wilderness experiences, how God led you out through it. Or perhaps you are in one right now. And if so, I invite you to open your heart to Christ, who knows the wilderness you're in and how to lead you out of it. Together, through Christ, we can move from fallen to risen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this time together, where we are being challenged to move from being fallen to risen. Lord, you created us to be dependent on you. You created us to be in a relationship with you. You created us to be close to you. You created us in your very image. Help us to remember that. Bring us back from where we are to where you created us to be, so that together we may again move from being fallen to risen. In all of these things, Lord, we thank you and praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Again, this is part one of a 7-part series, Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, and today's message was Fallen. Tune in next week and you'll get part two of this series, and hopefully you will find it to be both inspiring but also challenging as we walk through the journey of Lent together. In the meantime, I'd like to invite you to check out the episode notes. There'll be links there. The story of Debbie was actually a video, and so if you'd like to check it out, there's a couple of things in there that you would have missed because you weren't watching it. You're more than welcome to check that out. That'll be in the episode notes as well. But remember, friends, in the meantime, God bless you. Remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.